Many of us turn to human design, astrology, gene keys, and systems like the Success Codex to understand ourselves more deeply. But there is a trap that can happen when we start using these tools as labels, limitations, or excuses instead of pathways to self-understanding and personal growth. In this episode, we're exploring the difference between using these systems to expand your potential versus unintentionally boxing yourself in. Welcome to the Pulse on Human Design, brought to you by bodygraph.com. I'm your host, Vanessa Naja, Human Design Business Coach and Certified BG5 Consultant. Before we dive in, please like the episode, and if you haven't already, please subscribe. It goes a long way in supporting our channel, and we really appreciate it. Today, I am joined again by Ankara Rose, the creator of the Success Codex. If you haven't listened to our first conversation, where we really go deep into what the Codex is and how it helps entrepreneurs understand their natural way of succeeding, make sure to check out that episode. We will link it in the description. Ankara is an amazing educator. She is a valuable member of the bodygraph.com community. She teaches in our Success Codex, and she has amazing programs of her own. And I'm so excited to welcome you back to the show.
Hello, thank you so much for having me back. What a delight. What
I'm
a
so glad
delight.
you're here. I so enjoyed our first conversation. And we had talked about, some of these ways that we discover these systems are so exciting. And if you're listening to this, you're probably really into either human design, astrology, or discovering the Success Codex. And we can get into these traps of really labeling ourselves and limiting ourselves because of something that is in our design. And so we thought we would have a conversation about how we see that happening in the different systems that we use. So I'd love to hear from you first, Ankara. If you could share just some experiences that you've had in your career where you see people putting themselves in boxes and not being their own authority, because we've talked about how these systems help us become our own inner authority. And sometimes that backfires a little bit. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your experiences with this and what you may have seen in clients or other people in this industry.
I mean, even myself, if I'm honest, right? I think about this a lot because it's so important to me that I'm actually empowering the people who I work with, right? Like, it's one thing to say that we are and to want to, but it's another thing to really walk and lead with integrity and with our values. And for me, the value, the truth, the undeniable truth is that each one of us has our own way, our own path to success. And there will be some overlap sometimes, but for the most part, it's our own way based on our own genius. Yes, based on our design, but also based on our life experiences, based on our interests and our passions, based on our skills. So what I've seen a lot of people do, and it's something that I like to talk about whenever I'm working with a client and in all the programs that I teach, it's one of the first things that I say, the system is not your guru. This is not your rule book, it's your springboard. This is your starting point. And I've had so many people hire me for coaching, for business coaching with the Success Codex and saying, okay, well, who's my ideal client? What should I offer? How should I do this? What should I do? And I know that there are some people who, do astrology, human design, all these different systems who might disagree with me. But I don't believe that the true answers to those questions can actually be found in any one system. There might be clues, but the complete answer actually has to start with some self-inquiry and some self-discovery. And like doing that work, we all want the easy answer. Like, just tell me what I'm supposed to offer, please, right? And so we try to avoid doing that work of having to choose and having to discern because, well, what if I'm wrong? What if I say that this is who I want to work with? And what if I'm wrong? Well, then I can't blame a system, right? So that's like a little bit of the psychology behind it. But that's the pattern that I see is people wanting to get out of the very important leadership work of tuning into themselves and really getting clear about who they are, how they serve, who they desire to serve, what their experience makes them a beautiful, incredible leader for. And they just want the answers from the outside. But that's actually so disempowering.
I love that you said, like, the system is not your guru, it's your springboard. And I really agree with this, because all of these things that we're looking at, they are maps. They are not the territory. So they can point you in certain directions. But I always like to think of, you know, when you look at like the plain old Google map, it's not the territory. And then you can look at these systems and they go deeper. You know, you put on the layers that show you the traffic and that show you the topography and, you know, that show you the satellite view. And you go deeper and you get a deeper understanding of what that place is like. And it will never, ever compare to actually being there. And the conditioning is so important. You know, you can have two people with like very similar charts that have very different conditioning. And that aspect is really going to change the way that they express their design. And yeah, those answers, people coming, like, they really want to know. I mean, I was that person too. And part of the fun and the joy, I mean, you might not consider it joyful while you're in it, but actually going through that process of making the quote unquote wrong choice, which it's never wrong. It guides you on the right path. Like, I've gone through so many different careers and worked with so many different people. And it's this continual refinement over time. Again, you have these maps that can help guide you, and you can have teachers and coaches that, if you're really in alignment with them, can help support you. But ultimately, you have to discover your own truth, like what is correct for you. And there might be little hints inside all of these different systems that guide you in that direction, but they're not going to give you a clear, definitive answer of, like, you have to work with 37-year-old moms of little boys who shop at Whole Foods. It's not like that.
I agree with every single word that you said. And I love that the map is not the territory, right? Like, the map is not the land. It's a view of it. And kind of like what's coming through with that is, if you've ever seen a pointillization painting, right? Those paintings that are made up of thousands of little dots, yeah. Right? When you're standing right up next to those paintings, you're just looking at a bunch of dots. When you pull back, when you take 10 steps back, the image, the full picture begins to appear. And so to me, in a way, what these maps do is they give you a little space of perspective to be able to see parts of yourself that maybe you're just so close to that you're not recognizing them, you're not seeing the patterns, you're not seeing the gifts that they are, or maybe they're so natural to you that, you know, you just almost take them for granted.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I've noticed about when people really get into these systems, especially when they're new, they kind of take everything super literal. And some of the things about when you're learning a system, especially a complex system and a system like this, which ultimately is holographic, you kind of have to break it into these little pieces in order to be able to teach it and help people understand it. But it's not about these little pieces. It's about how it all fits together. So from the human design perspective, if we take it kind of to the biggest layer, we talk about the human design types. Mm-hmm. And those are just overarching themes. Like, you can have two people of the same type that are so wildly different, and they have the same strategy, and the strategy was explained to you in words, but the way they experience the strategy is very different. And then this also brings in the teachers that we learn from, because it's so important that when you are exploring a system of self-discovery, self-understanding, that the teacher that you're working with is somebody that you really resonate with, not somebody that's like, okay, well, they're the big popular person right now, or I have to study with them because they're the supposed guru. And, you know, you said the system is not your guru. Mm-hmm. And then when it's not the right teacher for you, you can sometimes internalize things in a way that is very disempowering. And one example that I want to give of this is, I often have projectors come to me and wonder, like, how they're supposed to market their business, because the strategy of the projector is to wait for recognition and the invitation. Mm-hmm. And I always like to tell them, I'm like, that's for when you're leading and guiding others. Like, the right other is going to recognize your brilliance and they're going to want to be guided by you. You can market your business. You can start a business. You can go out and talk about the things that you've mastered, because that is how people will see you and notice you and give you recognition and invitation. And it's always sad when it's like, no, you don't need somebody's formal invitation to start a business or to market your business. And I'd love to hear like how you've seen these types of themes like play out. If there's anything specific that you've seen that is disempowering like that, that you've corrected, that has come up as a theme for you in your business.
Yeah, I mean, I always think of the approach or the line too, as the hermit, right? And it's like, okay, so I don't call it the hermit. I think maybe BG5 uses
we call
the
it the
natural.
Natural.
Yeah, so I kind of like as an archetype, I call it the natural, but I really see the two approach. That hermiting, it's a cocooning so that you can recharge and then come back out and share, right? So when we think of two, I always think of the moon for some reason. Like I think of like the moon going through the cycles of, you know, fullness and then that new moon, right? In order for the two to really live its full expression, this is the approach to line to where, wherever you have it. Yeah, there might be some time where you're just kind of, you know, in a place that feels really safe, where you feel really free to just do what you want. But I always say we're all leaders, right? And so the thing that you love is meant to be shared with the world. I'm not saying you have to like, you know, go make a business out of it. You might want to, right? But I'm just saying, I hear a lot of people with a two line talk about the hermit in a way that feels very limiting. Well, you know, I can't do this because, you know, I'm the hermit. You know, nobody understands me, or I'm in hiding, or I'm just doing my thing. But I feel like it's a incomplete picture of what that part of the process of two actually is.
Yeah. I love that you brought in the lines or the approaches in the codex. So for me, I am a 5-1 in human design BG5. And the five, it's interesting because we talked about this in the last episode about like, the ones that we're really close to that are in our design sometimes can be the hardest one to see. In the five, it took me so long to understand it because some of the ways it was explained to me were like so esoteric. And so it just took me forever to understand it. There's this element of projections that people with fifth lines receive. And when people talk about the projections of the fifth line, almost like they're a little bit like villainous, like you gotta, you know, hide out from the projections, or, you know, people are projecting onto me. And the thing is that projections can actually be really wonderful and correct. So for example, as a 5-1, when I'm really in alignment, people can project onto me that I can solve a specific problem for them. And if it's the right problem for me to solve, I can actually do that. And it's great. So that's one of the things that I think often comes up for the fives. And especially since you mentioned the two, there's a 2-5 and the 5-2, and they really like to hide out from the projection field. And that can really trap them in business, because with the two, your natural talents, your gifts that you're meant to share with the world, you can really use to solve problems in a practical, out of the box way, which is what the five does. Mm-hmm. So really understanding all sides of it and the different language. And I love that about the Success Codex too, is the language.
This is the whole thing with the language. Language opens doors and it closes doors. Language shapes the way that we receive it. And words have different connotations collectively and also individually, right? But I love what you're bringing up. It's like, we make this assumption that projection, because how do we normally use the word projection? You're projecting on me. Yeah. So we, in our kind of colloquial use of projection, we're thinking that they're projecting negative things. They can also be projecting simply a mirror image of what, like the part of you that's being mirrored back from them, that is positive. And so one of the things that I do when I do work with human design with my clients, because I do weave a little bit of it, though, of course, now I'm much more in the Success Codex, but I'm always encouraging people to find and create their own empowering language for these same things, right? Like the martyr. Okay. Yeah, the martyr, I've got to go first. I sacrifice myself. I mean, look, really, what is that saying? I go first, I sacrifice myself for the good of, you know, for the refinement to make something, but it doesn't feel like that at all,
well,
right?
Also,
Like as a three. I don't ever feel like I'm sacrificing myself. I'm just super interested and want to test something out. And then,
Well, it's interesting too, because the martyr, like the language of the martyr, is that the thing with the third line is they are the first to speak truth to power and they're willing to take crap for it. So that's kind of where that martyr thing comes from, right? It's like you see something that's not working and you will call it out and you don't necessarily care if somebody's going to give you crap for it. That's kind of where that name comes from. But it again, it's like if you're somebody that's brand new to human design and you see your chart and you're like, oh, I'm the martyr heretic. If you're 3-5, you're like, oh. But really, that's why having this empowering language that explains it in different ways, I think is so important. And in BG5, we call the three the pioneer.
Yes, and I use that language too for three a lot. I do. It's just what you said. It's not that we can't find the thread from the original traditional language, but you can see why it was brought up. But is that the most empowering aspect? And the thing is, and I say this a lot, not everyone has the time, space, resources to dive deeper into these systems. So, what you get at face value, just these words, that's not a whole picture. It's not. And it can be. Or, even think like, I'm a manifestor. I have a repelling aura. That can mess someone up. I
It's
repel people.
actually protective.
Right? Exactly. I look at my manifestor daughter, I'm like, and I see her aura, and I'm like, man, she can just create the space to do what she wants to do. Just through her energy.
And
What, how incredible.
it protects her from that outside influence that manifestors don't need or want. So I love that you brought that up because, like the repelling aura, I definitely also like to reframe that in a way that is more empowering for manifestors. My mom is a manifestor too, and I discovered human design after she passed, sadly, because I think this information would have been so incredibly empowering for her to understand herself. So yeah, that manifestor aura, that's another really good one.
Yeah, and I think that ultimately, kind of going back to what we said in the beginning, right? Like, whether or not you're an entrepreneur, though, I do think probably the people who are listening, maybe there's at least a little seed of wanting to be serving others through this incredible work, these incredible systems. But, as entrepreneurs, we are leaders, and we've really, I think we're at the end of an era of the guru in general, right? Like this idea that this person, this system, this strategy is right for us, even when it doesn't have anything to do with us. I actually think that it ended already. We're just still in the shadow of it, and we're coming into this new mutation in 2027, right? We are coming into this era where it is going to be much more individual and about us stepping into our own way. But there's still a lot of conditioning in the field that somebody outside of you knows more than you about you. And I just want to say, it's not true. It's not, again, these systems, just like you said, it's not the territory, it's a map, it's a perspective, it's a springboard. Right. And so, it's akin to the sacral response. But really, what I think about is when something's really aligned with you, you might get a little bit of like a triggery feeling if it's something stretchy, but it's different than the constriction of something that is not aligned for you. Right. You'll feel a contraction when something's not right for you, if you're listening. And we can experiment with this, right? So when you think about what you know of your own design, your human design, your success codex, gene keys, astrology, whatever it is, if something gives you that little ugh feeling, right? That little like, is this like makes you feel bad about yourself? That's the place to check in. And you can just ask yourself, is this really true? Is there another perspective on this that actually might make me feel different about it? And maybe you can find that perspective again from somebody outside of yourself, but I actually believe that if you tune in, you'll get the answers that you need.
Absolutely. And that is why these tools that help you deepen in that self-awareness and that, give you maps on to like where to look. Fears are very obviously seen in the human design chart. And I think, being able to see like, oh, okay, this is actually really holding me back. All of that is so important. It all lives inside you, which brings me to, when it comes to things like using your strategy and authority in human design, which is such a practical aspect of it, what you just said, when something is correct and aligned for you, but it feels kind of stretchy. And I love that you said stretchy. I love that. It's a really great way of putting it. It can feel scary. And sometimes people confuse that scariness with it's not aligned with my design. Like it's a no
I
because it's scary.
love
And
it.
it's like, actually, no, the scary part is part of the stretchiness. It's part of what you actually have to move through in order to get to that next level. And really learning to discern for yourself what the difference is between what aligned feels like, but scary, versus misaligned, and not using the fears that are naturally going to come up in entrepreneurship as an excuse to not do something.
Yeah. And it can get really, really blurry when you have a very powerful, confident coach telling you what you should do. That is one of the places where I have seen, I think, the most wobble with my clients. And, you're nodding, so I'm sure that you've seen that too. Because, again, it's like that authority piece of looking outside of ourselves for, am I doing this right? Is this the right way? And so sometimes there's that voice inside that is saying, this isn't just a stretch. Like, this is not right for me. But when your coach is telling you, well, this is what you should do, and you override it, and then you're still learning. Listen, life's a journey. You're still learning your lesson, right? But sometimes, I prefer to not learn all of my lessons the hard way. I'd like to have a little more ease and a little bit more grace. I think it was the first reading I ever got on my human design. And the woman was teaching me how to discern my sacral yes and my sacral no, right? But it's a similar process. It's like when you can think of something, what it felt like when you stretched in the right direction, put yourself back in that place. Close your eyes, put your hand on your belly, a hand on your heart. Like, feel what that felt like in your body, right? Maybe it was nervousness. Maybe it was like, can be really uncomfortable. But then compare it to something that you said yes to that was really a no, or something that you didn't do that you knew in your heart you were meant to do, right? And that's sacral aside. I'm talking about in your business. You'll know when you make a choice and it's not the right choice. What does that feel like in your body? What's happening in your mind, right? I know FOMO is a really big one, and we happen to be right in Black Friday season, and you did that really great episode on Black Friday, right? It's like FOMO can override everything. Great marketing can override most discernment. I really believe that our growth isn't necessarily supposed to all be comfortable, but there is a big difference when it's really out of alignment.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're comfortable all the time, you are not actually growing. Growth happens outside of your comfort zone and finding those places where you can push those edges enough that you're not completely blowing out your nervous system, but that you're a little bit uncomfortable. Like when you're a little bit uncomfortable, that means you're in that growing edge. And when you can really tune into that alignment and what is correct for you, it's amazing what will show up. And you know what? If you make a mistake, it's totally fine. I can't tell you how much I have learned from all of the mistakes when I followed coaches saying, you have to do this or you're not going to succeed. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, oh, well, that didn't work for me. And it also felt absolutely horrible. And then I found things that I'm like, oh, this feels really scary and super aligned. So I'm going to do it and I'm going to be scared while I do it. And it is so aligned. And that's actually what ends up bringing the results.
Most of what I know, I've discovered through mistakes and failures.
Well, 3-6,
Great.
anyone? We'll have to do an episode about the first 30 years. Because whenever I hear about a 3-6 or a 6-3, I'm like, what were those first 30 years like?
They were
Experiencing the double.
bananas. Yeah, but we do, like, I think that's the other piece that, kind of going back to the topic that we're talking about, like the perfectionism of, I have to do my type right. I have to live my system, my body graph, my success, I have to do it right. No. Right? I do love the word of this is your human design experiment, because
Yes,
it
it is
does
an experiment.
loosen the rigidity of needing to get it right. Scientists get things wrong. That's how they
Yeah.
learn,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah. I mean, those are always the best lessons. Like, I'll tell you, all the times I got something wrong on a test, that's the stuff I remembered later. The answers I got right, I'm like, yeah, I don't remember those.
It's just such a good point. Replace the places where we stretch. That's what growth feels like. I even think about that when I exercise, right? If I'm lifting weights, it's not really fun. It's not very comfortable, but that's what makes muscle growth. That's what makes me stronger.
I always like to use that one as well. You got to go through those periods of discomfort, and that is actually where the strength comes from. So that is such a good one. All right. So, Ankara, before we go, anybody that wants to go deeper into your work, where is the best place to find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at the underscore success underscore codex. I am on Bodygraph. I have two trainings in the Business Mastery Hub, and I will be continuing to create more. If you have not downloaded your success codex, go to freesuccesscodex.com and you can grab yours for free. And if you want to train, there's stuff on the website as well, thesuccesscodex.com. So you can see there's plenty of ways to find me. I'm sure we will link all of that. Reach out to me. I'm still in a space where I love to, I have the freedom to be able to respond to a lot of people. So if you have questions, like do reach out. I love to have conversations and to meet with and talk to people about these systems. So,
Yes, we will definitely link all of that in the episode description. And thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. And I hope that it helped everyone see these systems in a more expansive and supportive way. And if you enjoy this episode, make sure to check out our first conversation with Ankara, where we go deeper into the Success Codex itself. The link for that will also be in the episode description. And if you want to explore your own human design and the Success Codex through a more practical business lens, you can start a free trial at bodygraph.com, dive into the Business Mastery Hub. Ankara has some great classes in there. I have a few as well. There's a whole library of trainings waiting for you. Thank you so much for being here with us on the Pulse on Human Design, Ankara. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching, and we will see you in the next episode.